Tucson, and Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Forgot my name there for a minute. For this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Wednesday, we carve out a few moments for our Wisdom for Weird Times conversation with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Logsdon from Hope City Church. After that, we'll talk about Tucson as the space tech hub of the Southwest. I'm going to convince you of that and talk about a huge day yesterday for NASA and for the University of Arizona. And then we'll do a little bit of national news, a number related to Amy Coney Barrett that I think is really interesting that I wanted to share as a confirmation is looking likely for Monday. We'll cover that, a little bit of national news as well. But first and foremost, to help us make sense of senseless times, a few moments every week we carve out to step back, take a big deep breath, get a bigger picture perspective on a crazy year that just somehow, some way, keeps getting crazier. Pastor Jeff Locks and Pastor Jeff, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and welcome to our live line here. You called 790-2040. Our listeners can call 790-2040 to have a chat with us this morning. That's always an opportunity, and we'd love to have you in with us. Pastor Jeff, are you feeling overwhelmed? I'm feeling overwhelmed. A lot of our listeners, I'm sure, are feeling overwhelmed. I hear it from so many people, Pastor, of just people like almost literally shutting down. My emails get responded to less. People come to less events. Less things get done. I think we're tired, Pastor Jeff. Are you tired? Do you sense that too?
You know, I think people are experiencing the fatigue of the situation that's been drawn out, or maybe to put it in a different light, lasted longer than any of us would have imagined. Full disclosure, I'm calling in. You know, our situation's changed uniquely over the last several days. Some loved ones, you know, are in the household with us now, pending some investigations with CPS. So I don't think any of us is immune to the effects of the virus. I think sometimes people think their leaders or their pastors are beyond the things that we're experiencing together. But we, you know, if we're being transparent or vulnerable, we know that's not true. So I think part of today comes from, you know, our own challenges on the home front and trying to figure out how do we work through this.
Yeah. Yeah, Pastor Jeff, I'd love to call an audible with you today a little bit and invite our listeners to call in with anything that they're doing right now to manage the overwhelm. You've got some good answers this morning, but none of us have all the answers. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Where are you at today as we take a minute to pause together and just kind of go, how are we doing? How do we make sure we get through this year? You know, give us a call in, 790-2040. Pastor Jeff, we always start out with a brief proverb. Again, this is a segment designed as a step back for anyone listening, whether they are of a faith background or in a faith community or not, but we always start with a proverb. Jeff, where are we starting today, and what's some of your advice for us in this moment?
Proverbs 20, verse 5, it's one that's been committed to my memory over the last several decades, but it reads, "The purpose of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out." And none of us, this might be hard for some people to hear first time you've heard it, but I think that many of us don't truly know what's going on inside of us at all times, as strange as that may seem. The heart is deceitful. Sometimes our motives misguide us. And so being able to look at the blind side or the shadow side or even the dark side, if you will, we all have them. I know under pressure I can get pretty difficult to be around. You can interview my wife separately. But a person of insight draws them out and helps us to get perspective. And I think that's a little bit about what this first segment is about, is getting perspective and figuring out how to move forward in a positive direction.
Yeah, we're talking with Pastor Jeff this morning, lead pastor of Hope City Church, faith community here in Tucson. Yeah. Wisdom for weird times, making sense of an often senseless world. What are some of the best practices, Pastor Jeff, to that? What do you advise people to do when we're feeling pressure? What should be our go-tos for dealing with stress when stress is making things worse? As I think so many of us are struggling with that right now.
You know, I think there has to be a positive release. There's negative ways to release, you know, things that can hurt us further. But positive things could be getting into a different environment altogether, a place for reflection, talking to individuals. I'm a pastor, but I think I can speak for many, many people, including faith leaders. Prayer isn't always the first go-to. Sometimes we like to try everything else, and then when nothing else works, oh yeah, I guess I should pray now. But you know, prayer changes things. I think for me, talking to an individual these past few days, trying to figure things out and how to help provide positive release for some teens that we care about, teenagers that we care about, breaking point or break point was a recommendation, a place where you can just go and get out some aggression. And so those places exist and probably are getting a lot of business right now.
What other pieces of advice are you sharing with your congregation? You ask a question, I know, of what opportunities are waiting for you today, despite these problems you're facing. What are some of the action steps? I think you have a list that you share with your congregation. Maybe share that with us today.
You know, I think taking difficult situations, there's a scripture from Genesis 50. It says, the thing that was intended to harm you, God will use it for good. And so that's a part of the perspective, is looking at the opportunities. What is inspiring you to actually take action? What motivates you? Is it a chance to help someone in your family? Maybe it's a chance to take on another job and earn extra money, or maybe a different job, a chance to learn something new. I know we've got some people we're close to that are learning a new language or learning how to play a new instrument. Moving to a new place might be part of that transition, or a chance to meet someone new. Maybe it's a new roommate or a new hobby. Those are some ideas, hopefully, that spur on some additional thoughts for our listeners this morning.
One of the advices I know that you give your congregation, and certainly in quote unquote normal times, this is one of the benefits of being a part of a group, of a community like a church, and that is avoiding isolation and surrounding yourself with people who are kind of on the same journey. Certainly, that advice looks different right now, and you know, there's, you know, certainly when it comes to COVID-19, there are some people who are of the health and the age and the opportunity where we can start getting back out into some, you know, social settings in a safe and responsible way. Some of us either have family or in a spot where we have underlying conditions where we're more at risk if we are exposed to COVID-19 and have to be a little bit more isolated. What has been your advice around how to avoid isolation and maintain relationships during this time when the advice has been be isolated and don't have relationships? Again, there's a spectrum of how people are engaging that. It's not one size fits all, but what's your advice? What's been your advice to your congregation at Hope City Church?
You know, we have, just keeping in mind, people who are needing to quarantine more so than others because of the present health conditions. We're in an age where we have access to tools that no other generation has had access to. So even in isolation, there are phone apps, there's social media, there's sites, there's resources virtually that we can find community in and through. There's chat lines or call lines where people can schedule calls with groups. And so there's a myriad of ways we can be in community. I think the greatest threat to mental health does include isolation, absolutely, and it also includes depression that comes from being isolated. We were never meant to be alone, and so my encouragement to our listeners would be, if you can't navigate phone apps, you don't have the right equipment, ask someone that you trust or someone in the family that is familiar with how to do that can help you set that up.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church. When we come back from our break, our second segment, I'd love to focus on four steps that you're offering this morning for those of us who are maybe struggling with mental health or depression or anxiety. And I think that's a large group of us probably listening right now. Certainly some things that I've struggled with even over the last, you know, few months. I want to talk about those four steps. It ties in real well, Pastor, into what you just mentioned. Let's break the rules a little bit and wrap up this segment with with one of our listeners who called in on our phone line. Matt is on line three. Matt, we want to fit you in before the break. Go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly. You know, I've looked at it a lot over my life, and I've recognized that 9 times out of 10, it feels like we're just acting out of fear. Everything that we do has some sort of fear based causation. If you're a smoker and you need to get your smokes, it's because it might be because you're worrying about finances, you're worrying about a problem. If you're worried about your weight, it might be that you go feel that need to go get that extra piece of cookie or whatever, because, you know, maybe it's something fearful is driving you. If you lose your temper with your significant others because they ask you a question and you lash out, chances are it's not actually the moment. It's you're carrying around some sort of fear, and it just comes out. And so I just urge people to recognize why you're making the actions, why you're doing the things you're doing. What's the fear that you're carrying around with you, and acknowledge it to yourself. Doesn't mean it's going to go away, but you start to understand yourself better, and you also forgive yourself, and you ask other people to forgive you, and you maybe talk about what it is your problem is that you're carrying around, and it's constantly evolving.
Matt, thank you. I agree with that. Pastor Jeff, any words on that? I thought Matt brought up some really good points. You want to close us out with anything?
Yeah, just complete agreement with what Matt's saying. It's the underlying motive that's creating the response. And so I guess the question I would want people to think about as we leave this time is, what is one thing you can do differently this week to search for a solution in the situation you're facing?
Yeah, Pastor, we're going to have a little bit of a shorter segment when we come back from the break, but we know that in this country right now, more people are struggling more often with mental health, depression, anxiety, mental health issues. It's becoming a health crisis, and I'm not a shock jock. I don't use that word lightly, but all the data points to we are a country for a variety of reasons that are struggling with this issue. When we come back from the break, Pastor, you have provided four steps, four keys for people to overcome that and start to track progress around overcoming that huge problem. And Pastor Jeff Loxton of Hope City Church, our faith and culture contributor, is going to share some advice on this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Don't forget, we're heading towards recognizing a very special day, NASA and the U of A yesterday. We'll also talk some national news before the hour's out. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info. Tucson, welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. We're with Pastor Jeff Loxton of Hope City Church. Pastor, many started to see a few months into the coronavirus pandemic that we've been nearing another health crisis. There have been 1,000% jumps in people calling a federal emergency hotline in emotional distress. Online therapy company Talkspace in the spring of this year reported a 65% jump in clients since a few months before. There has just been, I mean, data point after data point after data point shows that we are a local and national community really struggling with mental health, anxiety, distress, fear, anxiety. Checking down the list. This is a problem, and many people I'm sure listening today are facing it, and it's okay. You know, I thought Matt's point, one of our callers in the last segment, to at least talk about it and deal with it, is that first step. Don't be afraid to say, man, I'm really struggling right now. Pastor Jeff, you lead a congregation here in Tucson called Hope City Church. We've got about 5 minutes. You provide four steps to your congregation on how to tackle this crisis and overcome it in their lives. I think our listeners would value from this as well this morning. What are those four things that you urge people to do?
I think being able to acknowledge where one is paralyzed or experiencing depression, those might be the things that drive you to either grab a drink or to veg out or binge watch Netflix or veg out on gaming systems. Not picking on anything specifically, but behaviors that drive repetitive habits or patterns. So acknowledging those things would be the first step, and then determine one or two things that you can begin to do to work your way out of this. Where you see those patterns happening, what is something different that you can build in your schedule, or someone that you can reach out to pull yourself out of that rut? We're people that love to see progress, and sometimes with depression and paralysis, I know I experienced depression for a year. It was a dark year. Mm. But being able to track results, that's the third thing. Either using a phone app or a journal or even a calendar, you know, good old X's and O's works. But being able to see the little steps of progress, and then ultimately looking at the big picture, how many good days versus bad days are you having as you're addressing these areas? Because I don't think these are things that last forever, but if we don't see progress in little ways, I know it can be defeating and kind of perpetuate the things that are going on.
Right. Are you indeed seeing this with your congregation and your network? Would you agree, Pastor Jeff Loxton, that this is just a time where a lot of people are really struggling? Have you seen an increase in this year on your end?
Absolutely. I mean, I would just say to our listeners, I'm seeing it personally, acknowledging those areas where I'd like to do one thing, but I end up doing another, and it creates downward spirals if it's not addressed. I know we've reached out to people, professionals for direction to get a different perspective. This may sound random, but we're going to take a trip to Target later today and invest in some jump ropes to keep the young people in our lives engaged in different ways, trying to create a competition, you know, between each other with the jump rope. So it doesn't have to be those things, but, you know, I just want to encourage those listening that you're not alone. There are other people that are fighting through this, and I think we can inspire others to find our way through it. And certainly with God's help, we'll get through it.
Pastor Jeff Loxton, thank you as always. We carve out a few minutes together weekly. You're our faith and culture contributor. We realized early on that what exactly we're talking about now was an issue, was a problem, and that people of both a faith background and non-faith background would likely value from a few moments of stepping back from all the news, the politics, the policies, the issues, the stories that we tell on this show. Take a step back, take a big, deep breath, and let's get through this time together and provide some mental health and spiritual health and emotional health in just a few minutes together. So thank you for your commitment to that. And we continue to get great feedback, Pastor, that this is really needed and really helpful. You provided some next steps, a lot of next steps that provide people, that provide some support system. If someone would like to reach out to you after the show, Pastor Jeff, to see how, you know, Hope City Church or your advice might be able to help them specifically, where can people go find you and go find all of our podcasts?
Absolutely. You can connect with me at hopecitychurchtucson.com, hopecitychurchtucson.com.
Pastor Jeff, thank you so much. That wraps us up today, but we'll see you same time, same place next Wednesday.
Thanks, Zach.
Take care. And that does it. When we come back from, we're going to now a bottom of the hour news and sponsor message break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a big day for the Space Tech Hub of the Southwest. I'm just going to keep saying it hundreds and hundreds of times. Yes, I'm talking about Tucson. Big day yesterday between NASA and UVA. We'll talk about that. And then we'll cover some national news. I've got some national tidbits, some things related to national issues I think you'll be interested in. We can have a chat around it here. In the balance of the hour. That's where we're going in just a minute here on Tipping Point. You're listening to 10-3 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We shall return. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson and Southern Arizona, welcome back into the 10-3 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm excited today. I'm gonna look to have a guest in on this soon. Was not able to make it happen yesterday or today in time, so I'm gonna talk about it. But NASA's Origins Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer, aka OSIRIS-REx spacecraft, it reports, unfurled its robotic arm Tuesday, a first for the agency, briefly touching an asteroid to collect dust and pebbles from the surface for delivery to Earth in 2023. That moment was 10 years in the making since NASA selected the University of Arizona to lead the OSIRIS-REx mission. And the spacecraft yesterday successfully completed its most treacherous and rewarding task, that being of sample collection. And of course, what's cool is that the actual spacecraft itself is a combination of parts and design from the University of Arizona and Arizona State University. So go U of A, go the state of Arizona. But an 11-foot arm was stretched out by the elbow, by the wrist, and grabbed.
You know what it reminds me of, Zach?
Yeah.
Because Bennu is not really very massive.
Which is the asteroid's name.
That's the asteroid. That's right. that OSIRIS-REx has been orbiting around. It's been orbiting around it really close. So it's like riding the merry-go-round and reaching out to grab the brass ring.
An incredible feat. They call it a tag, Tom, a tag and go. And you're right. I mean,
yeah, it was so close in its orbit already.
Right.
It merely had to extend its arm out, and you know, they'd already picked out what part of the asteroid surface they wanted to make a grab at. It probably was a little bit higher off, a little bit of a rise or something that they
right.
could just scoop a little something off and right. without crashing.
Right. Absolutely incredible, Tom. Absolutely incredible. And Bennu itself is a very close 200 million miles from Earth. I mean, the scope of this thing, Tom, is incredible. What we're talking about, 200 million miles from Earth. We're not going to get this back until 2023.
Yeah, Mars is roughly around 80 million.
Yeah.
So this would put Bennu out in with its fellow asteroids out there in the asteroid belt, I guess.
Incredible. Tom, you have pulled up here the press release from NASA itself. I've got pulled up the U of A press release. But let me just read this part. I don't like to read a lot of stuff on the radio because y'all can do that. You don't listen to me for me to read stuff to you. Y'all can do that. But this paragraph is incredible. Quoting, 10 minutes later, the spacecraft fired its thrusters for the second match point burn to slow its descent and match the asteroid's rotation at the time of contact. I mean, this is incredible. It then continued a treacherous 11-minute coast past a boulder the size of a two-story building, nicknamed Mount Doom, to touch down in a clear spot in a crater on Bennu, that's the asteroid's name, northern hemisphere. The size of a small parking lot, the site, which they call Nightingale, is one of the few relatively clear spots on this unexpected boulder-covered space rock.
Now, that's interesting because it put my idea of what they did out in space. They did not look for a dome or a rise in the surface. They were looking for the crater. They wanted yes. to get a scoop out of the crater floor, apparently.
Yep.
That's even more remarkable to me.
Amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, this was happening yesterday. What looks like a successful tag, again, a touch and go mission. You hear Tom and I kind of walking through what we're reading, what we imagine that this looked like. But the reality is, again, I'll just use this time to keep hammering this home. The University of Arizona has been a part of every NASA space mission since Apollo. This is not a new ground for the university. Tucson, the U of A, has been a part of every space mission since Apollo. And, you know, for me, and I know I'm the minority on this. I know I'm the minority on this because we get really stuck on the nuts and bolts, and we should, and nuts and bolts are good. But I've had Free Fall Aerospace on. There are innovations and companies that are being launched out of the University of Arizona that are focused here in Tucson on space discovery, on space exploration, on stratospheric research, And for me, you know, worldview, I know I said the word, worldview is a part of this. We often talk about worldview as this kind of, you know, separate entity. To me, it has to succeed, and we're still waiting to see if it will succeed, if it was a good investment. A lot of people have made a verdict on that. I'm not ready to. The mission has changed for worldview. It's still in its early stages related to technology and innovation. I think we still got to give it some time. But I don't see it as this, you know, isolated company or isolated experience in Southern Arizona. It is part of a developing cluster that I think makes Tucson the space tech hub of the Southwest, and or certainly on our way. Certainly on our way. And I was posting on my social media the last 24 hours or so. Say it with me 100 times. I think we need to be saying Tucson is the space tech hub of the Southwest. Tell that story. Say that brand. Let's speak it together, because we're already doing that, right? I often say on the air, this stuff isn't aspirational. Not just Tom and I behind, you know, on two sides of a glass going, man, it would be so cool if Tucson could be a space tech hub. We are. We just don't talk about it enough. We just don't talk about it enough. And this story gets me so excited, as you can tell, because this is one of the first and one of many space missions that we're going to be a part of.
Well, the university had a big role in the Cassini mission to Saturn.
Yes.
So anyway, let's not overlook the fact, and I use the word overlook intentionally, because of all of the huge mirrors that they have built, manufactured, poured, polished under the stadium, the University of Arizona football stadium, for these telescopes around the world.
100%. And to that point, I've often said on the air, look, we're still an optics champion. When I was younger, I would say kind of, I would say early 2010s, late 2000s, it felt like everywhere I turned, we were talking about Optics Valley, Optics Valley, Optics Valley. I don't feel like I hear that as much anymore. It feels like we've either forgotten that, or we don't speak to it as much. I mean, we're still a champion in that area. It just, for some reason, we've not branded ourselves to that level. And you know, Facebook and social media has an algorithm, doesn't allow any of us to see everything all the time. And I have not done deep research on this, but I don't remember seeing a lot of our public sector elected leaders in Tucson and Southern Arizona talking about this. You got a lot of the U of A, you have a lot of people in space tech. I didn't remember yesterday seeing too many of our elected leaders at a city or county level spending time on this topic. Now again, I haven't looked at all five on the county. I haven't looked at all seven Facebook accounts of the city council. I haven't gone that far. I probably will. But I don't remember seeing, you know, a celebration in this community of a major feat, a global win that was driven out of the University of Arizona. And I'm continuing to get a little bit, I talked about this yesterday, was it Tip O'Neill said, all politics are local. Here in Southern Arizona, we've quickly made all politics national. I think we're getting so distracted. And yes, it's 2020. I'll lay off a little bit. But I think we've gotten so distracted by two very big topics that we're not locally going, man, here's our strengths, here's our wins, here's what we're talking about. There was a reporter from a TV station, I think it was MSNBC, that was here doing some interviews in Tucson over the weekend. To my knowledge, a coastal interviewer, right? Not someone from here. This is MSNBC. And I think they were actually talking to Mayor Romero. It was the MSNBC with Mayor Romero. And I remember the reporter showed up. Again, big national TV, you know, show that comes on Sunday mornings. And he showed up to the interview with a cowboy hat, a leather jacket, and cowboy boots. Something that I'm 98% sure this guy does not wear on a regular basis, but in his mind,
he might wear flip flops and shorts usually.
Something like
if
that.
If he was from the LA area,
right.
Say.
You know, and I don't want to lose what Tucson's always been known for, but to me, that's the picture of when someone comes to Tucson, when they think of Tucson, they're thinking of a Saguaro in the background and the Dude Ranch experience. And I'm not saying get rid of that, but I'm saying what does it have to take for people here who live here and people who come here to really get to see Tucson for what it is. And this is my tech and tacos line, right? Like Tucson's a town, likes to talk about it. It's tacos and trails more than it's tech and talent. And people call in and go, well, I love our tacos and trails. I go, me too. I never say we don't stop. We know we stop talking about it. We've got all four. We just only talk about two of them. We've got some amazing tech and talent happening. We don't talk about it. We don't know about it. Nobody else knows about it.
But you know, that report addressing that way makes me think that maybe that's the way a lot of people still think of the Tucson area.
That's what I'm saying, Tom. When people think of Tucson, they don't think of this.
They're coming for a stay at a dude ranch or something.
Right. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be the overriding. I mean, it, to me, that's a 60, 70-year-old picture of Tucson.
And you're talking about the tech
right
aspect of Tucson. You know, there was a time when Kitt Peak was a focal point of observatory programs and people coming here to do their 100%. Astronomical work and stuff before they started building the telescopes on the volcanoes in Hawaii.
Yep, 100%. I know this isn't quite technology, but to your point, Tom, you know, Tucson has a legacy of firsts. We don't think about it. Has a legacy of being on the cutting edge. Whether that is our gastronomical innovation, 4,000 years of history, where that's having the university here, right? We thought it was done. We didn't get the sanitarium. It turns out getting a university was a great decision. So you know, there's that. But we got the first. We were one of the first capitals of the state. We were one of the first to get a streetcar in the country. Tucson has this story that nobody tells. And I'll just keep telling it, and I'll keep saying it, and if by the time I die, this town is known as the space tech hub of the Southwest, I'll die a happy guy.
That's well, the what's goal. The company that's moving their headquarters from Seattle to here?
That's a sportswear, like a health-based company.
Because they've got some tech companies in that area.
Yeah, right.
We ought to be, help me with my memory, I'm old. You know, we ought to be entertaining those people and convincing them to think about moving here.
Right. 100%. You know.
Courting them. That's the word
exactly,
I was looking for.
Exactly. You know, there's for a variety of reasons, we won't get into the politics. There's a lot of companies unhappy with the Pacific Northwest who are making moves. This is one of them. I don't know why they moved here other than just what we have to offer. I'm not making anything up that I don't know. But they looked at Tucson and saw that we are a health and health tech based economy in many ways and said we fit there.
And isn't there a new car, electric car manufacturing facility going in the Phoenix area that's going to rival Tesla, apparently, or going to try to?
So
why didn't we get them down here?
So even better, well, I agree with you there, Tom. Even better news than Phoenix is it's Casa Grande. And so I was on a call this morning that actually talks about Lucid, this company, which looks to rival Tesla, set up a manufacturing headquarters in Casa Grande.
Is that where they're going to have their facility?
It is, yeah. And it got built in 9 months, by the way, which is absolutely unheard of.
That is amazing.
From the first shovel to ending, it was 9 months. Arizona has the ability to do that. And they're going to be able to draw from both Tucson and Phoenix. So yes, Tom, I wish they could have been here. And I don't know why they didn't. But Casa Grande is better than being just solely in
and
Phoenix.
And you know so. What's remarkable to me is I never even heard about this company until they had already started or finished building their plant, their facility.
Right.
I mean, there was a time when this company was being courted or looking for a place to go. Mm-hmm. That's when we should have heard about them.
Right. I mean, that's my soapbox even with this show, Tom, is it is as important to tell the story, to talk about things, to float things, to tease things, to have these things out there as much as it is execution. And we got to execute. But the storytelling around this is so lacking in the region. You know, the way we talk about our region is so cold and nuts and bolts. And it's like, we've got a fantastic region here. It needs a lot of work to reach its potential. But we don't storytell ourselves. And if we don't know and we don't care as Tucsonans and Southern Arizonans, then not many other people will care. And so anyway, I thought this story was so cool and I wanted to share about it. Let's go to our last break, Tom. You got the music going. Great signal. Let's do it. We'll come back and we'll wrap up with maybe a national topic or two as we head out of our Wednesday show. One more segment to go, Tucson. We'll be right back. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. And we're back. Happy Wednesday to you as we wrap up this hour of Tipping Point here on 1030 The Voice. We went long on a topic that I got really excited about. Tom and I both got excited about it. The successful OSIRIS-REx tag mission 10 years after NASA awarded University of Arizona to lead the effort to grab some samples from asteroid Bennu and a successful tag yesterday. Of course, we'll know for more certain, I believe, in 2023 when it arrives back to Earth. It is about 200 million miles away, Tom, so pretty close to us. A piece of national news here, just reporting on it, something that I found interesting. A lot of times I go, oh, that's interesting. I'll talk about that on the radio. I will eat crow a little bit openly in that when I was talking to people I consider to be experts who are sitting in Senate seats and are part of the process, it was very touch and go a few weeks ago whether Amy Coney Barrett would be confirmed to the Supreme Court. There was very small wiggle room, very low margin for error, and I thought there was a great chance that it wouldn't happen. Not to say that it wouldn't happen during the lame duck session after the election, but in terms of the confirmation happening, the vote happening before November 3rd, there was a lot that had to go right that I just wasn't sure would go right. However, it looks like a confirmation vote will be held on Monday again for nominee Judge Amy Coney Barrett, which is, again, a week ahead of the Monday before the election, so about 8 days out from the election. I thought this was interesting that according to Gallup, 51% of Americans support Judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the U.S. Supreme Court seat left by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. 46% of U.S. adults do not want Barrett to be seated. 3% do not yet have an opinion of her nomination. So I thought that was interesting that a majority, slim as it is, but a majority of Americans want the judge to be seated. So we will see what happens. As far as I'm aware, there are enough votes in the Senate to place Amy Coney Barrett. So we'll see what happens. This is complicated stuff, but today, by all accounts, it looks like there's a chance that there will be a new Supreme Court judge before the election. So interesting times. That does it for our show today. This is weird for me to say, but you're going to get to hear me again later today. I will be, and I'm honored to do it, guest hosting the Bill Buckmaster Show at noon. So I get a two-hour break here. And then I'm going to spend the whole hour at noon on the Bill Buckmaster Show interviewing the four candidates running here locally for the Legislative District 10, the two Legislative District 10 House of Representatives seats for the Arizona State House. So I'm going to pop off in a second. In 2 hours, we'll be back on the Bill Buckmaster Show for that full hour interview focused on LD10. So I hope you'll join me again over there. Hugh Hewitt's in between. And then Bill Buckmaster at noon. Stay tuned for lots of great and local listening, news, politics, policies, issues here on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We're here for you in the closing days before election 2020. If you missed any of this week's conversations so far, please go to kvui.com/podcasts or iTunes or Google Play Music. Search Tipping Point and listen back. We've had some great dialogue this week. Talk to you later, Tucson. See you on Thursday for Tipping Point, 9 a.m., October 22nd. Take care.